there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. October is LGBTQ plus History Month, and I'm proud to amplify the work of my guest today, Sophia, and the Campaign for Gender Inclusivity, a student-led organization that educates, advocates for, and creates safe spaces for LGBTQ plus youth. Sophia and her team started this advocacy work when they were middle schoolers, and over the last 4 years, it has expanded to over 80 public and private schools across the state of New Jersey. Welcome back, everybody. I am super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Sophia. Hi, Sophia. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Doing well.
I am so glad to have you on today. I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about where you go to school, how old you are, what grade you're in, all that good stuff. And then I want you to tell us the entire story of Campaign for Gender Inclusivity and start from the very beginning. So tell us everything.
So my name is Sophia. I'm 17 years old and I am a senior in high school. I live in New Jersey, lived there all my life. And I go to Kent Place School, which is actually an all-girls school in Summit, New Jersey. Super small school, but it's super amazing because of the community we have there. And that community is kind of what helped me start my project or organization, which is called the Campaign for Gender Inclusivity. It's a completely student-led and run organization that works to support transgender and non-binary students, specifically in New Jersey, at different schools in our area. So how it kind of all started was around when the pandemic was starting to wrap up a little bit. People were kind of coming back to school, but things were still online. And something that I was noticing a lot in my school community was that there was still a lot of isolation, and it was very hard to have, you know, like normal club spaces at school or spaces to just socialize and interact with our students. And something that I was noticing more specifically was the impact on this for LGBTQ students. Around this time, there was also a lot of new anti-transgender and anti-LGBTQ legislation across the country in a lot of different states. And luckily, New Jersey has not really bared like the brunt of this legislation. We've been kind of deemed like the safe haven for students and for LGBTQ individuals in general. But that also doesn't mean that this legislation wasn't impacting youth in our state. And I wanted to do something about this to help people who are my friends, people in my school. And so I started just holding online meetings to bring people together. We had little support groups. We would talk about things we wanted to improve in our school to bring more education and awareness about different identities to our teachers and other classmates. And we were very lucky in our school community. It's very progressive, so teachers were very open to working with us and listening to us. We had administration who were happy to have us give presentations and to learn from us. And that was a really positive experience, especially starting out, because having that support and knowing that, you know, these adults want to learn from these kids and they're trying to understand was super helpful in, you know, building our confidence and building up what we were trying to do. And then we also started to expand outside of just our school because we had friends at other schools in different towns who wanted similar things in their schools. They had teachers who didn't understand how to use different sets of pronouns, who didn't really understand what it meant to be transgender, to be non-binary, but they wanted to learn. Or students wanted to feel comfortable in school settings, so they wanted to help their teachers to learn. So at that point, we started sharing more digital resources and doing online workshops for students and for teachers and for parents to educate about these topics from our own perspectives as the students in these situations, to bring that awareness and education, but also be very open to answering questions and being honest and really meeting teachers and faculty and parents where they were and with the understanding that they had coming into these conversations. And I think that's been super helpful the idea of meeting people where they are, because it's allowed us to have much more effective and meaningful conversations with them, and I think further educate them and better educate them than it would be if we were kind of expecting them to know a lot of this stuff already. Because I find that a lot of the times when especially young people try to educate in that way, it kind of backfires, and then these adults no longer want to listen to students because they believe they're just going to be like attacked or assumed to have known things. But then also, it's not their fault that there is this ignorance or miseducation. It's just because they've never been taught before. This is not something that they've learned before.
So how have you been received? How has this been received by other school communities? You know, I'm sure that you've hit some roadblocks and some obstacles, even in a safe space like New Jersey. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Definitely. So I think with other youth and other students, it's definitely like when we're able to connect with them or when they hear about us, there's that like, oh, this is a space where I feel comfortable being myself. This is a great, you know, thing that I can bring to my school. But since we try to educate students to then bring things back to their schools, while the experience may not be personally mine in terms of how teachers and administration have reacted, I do know that there are students who have tried to sort of bring different ideas for schools or present educational things like that within their schools. And there have been teachers and faculty who have kind of been unresponsive to it, kind of ignore what they're saying, or schools that don't allow for these kinds of presentations of things in general. But I also think what's been helpful for us in continuing to support these students, even if their schools aren't doing exactly what they should, is creating spaces outside of schools for students to meet one another and explore their identities and know that this is a space where you're accepted, even if in your school you don't feel that same level of comfort and support.
Right. And how, from a practical standpoint, how is this done? So you mentioned giving people tools or resources or almost like a curriculum. So walk me through that. I know you have a really wonderful social media presence and you'll tell everybody where they can follow and learn more. And I'm sure you do a lot of educating in that space. But what can you provide in terms of resources, materials, all of that good stuff?
Yes. So we have, through our website, we have different educational resources like presentations about different identity terms, how to use different sets of pronouns. We also have little info sheets that, like right after the pandemic, we were printing out and giving to teachers that kind of give how, like example sentences, how to use different pronouns, ideas for addressing a class that aren't really gendered, that are more gender neutral, to be aware of all students, and a couple of different resources like that. A lot of them are just presentations or info sheets, and we share them through our website and through our social media. And then we've also had students who have like different interests in like different LGBTQ books or figures throughout history or things like that, who've created special infographics that we post on social media and also share on our website specifically around their interest to kind of let them explore that. And then we can amplify it through the platform that we have and with the people that we know.
Right. That's amazing. So tell me, I'm sure that you hit a few obstacles here, but is there anything that surprised you in setting this up, either, you know, for the good or bad, and how you've overcome different challenges?
Definitely. So I think being a student-led and run organization, a big challenge we've had is being taken seriously by other organizations that, you know, are run by adults or professionals. Obviously, what we're doing is important, but I think the fact that we are all students, sometimes people will look at us and kind of look at us in a different light because of the fact that we are younger. But I think one of the big things that I know we're trying to prove through our work and a lot of other youth organizations are trying to show is that just because we're young people doesn't mean that we can't, you know, produce meaningful work and have meaningful conversations and help people in the same way that adults or other organizations can do. So we've been very lucky to work with a lot of really great organizations like Garden State Equality, which is a huge LGBTQ advocacy group in New Jersey, and Edge New Jersey, who is based in Morris County, New Jersey, who really love working with us, really appreciate, you know, the youth perspective that we bring and who want to include us in making change and helping their organizations. So we luckily have been more positive in that area, but we also know that, you know, when we reach out for collaboration, when we try to get in touch with different organizations, there's always that chance that, you know, they're going to look at us differently because we are all students. We're in middle and high school, and, you know, they're adults. They have been educated in this field, and they do probably have a higher level of education in some ways, but we also have a lot to offer with our unique perspectives.
1,000%. And here's the thing, you're going to get older. You're going to be an adult very soon, right? Anytime older folks kind of close off young people and don't give them a seat at the table, they are kind of missing the point that you all are the ones that are going to bring a new and fresh perspective to all of these issues. You are living this right now. You know, that idea that children are the future, like that's sort of true, but you're also the present, right? Like you're in it right now and redefining a lot of things and a lot of the ways that we speak to each other and the way that we understand sexuality and identity. And to not give you a seat at the table or not even to acknowledge that you have something to share, I think is really short-sighted and close-minded. You know, very soon you are going to be able to vote, you're going to go to college, and you're going to be an adult living out in the community. And so it would be in everyone's best interest to listen to young people, which is why I started this platform and this podcast, because there are so many teenagers and even younger, as you pointed out, middle school students who have a passion for the work and are out there doing it. And it might seem very small right now, but this can grow and grow and grow. So I guess that's my next question. How do you see this growing? You're going to move through high school and hopefully someday go off to college. So how do you see this kind of expanding in the future?
Yeah, so in the past year, we've definitely had a lot of bigger changes, I would say, within our organization. One of the projects that we started last summer was connecting with more high schools in New Jersey, and we did this by reaching out to GSAs, or Gender and Sexuality Alliances, at different schools to create like a coalition and a network of these groups so we can have more students involved in our work. And I think this has been super helpful in kind of ensuring our prevalence throughout New Jersey and also expanding, because we've been able to reach a lot of different areas, like more South Jersey, because we are more North Jersey based, that we couldn't have really reached before. So now we have students at these schools who are either part of the GSA clubs, who lead these clubs. So this can include younger high school students as well as older high school students who are aware of our organization and what we do and are directly connected to us in that way. And we hope to continue doing that moving forward and connecting with more schools. We've connected with about 80 public high schools in New Jersey. But a big thing for us is, as someone who goes to a private school, is connecting with more independent schools throughout the state. They've been harder for us to reach just because of how they're different with sharing information compared to public schools. But there's still definitely a need for support and education in these spaces too. And we also are aiming to start a program specifically for middle school students this fall. It's going to serve as a mentorship program to introduce them to the work that we do and LGBTQ advocacy in general, and sort of help equip them with more leadership and growth skills, things that I sort of wish I had had the privilege to, you know, work with or learn when I was in middle school, to sort of understand or more explore my interest in LGBTQ advocacy and also be supported by someone who really wants to educate and bring more people into this space. So I think that'll be a great way for us to reach more middle school students, more younger students, who will hopefully help us to ensure the future of our organization throughout New Jersey as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, two things there. You know, for you to reach out to younger students just gives them the opportunity to not feel alone, right? And to not feel isolated and to not feel like they're the only ones, you know, experiencing certain challenges maybe in really living their truth and being who they are and sharing their identity with people. And then now you're giving them the tools and the sort of the strength and the confidence to go into high school with that. And then they can become a part of this advocacy work, as you pointed out. And also, I mean, this clearly, you know, a campaign for gender inclusivity cohort or chapter could exist in every school across the country, right? And as you pointed out, some schools may already have clubs of this kind, but, you know, to make this a sort of a uniform movement and to sort of have the materials be available to people everywhere, all over the country, all over the world, like that's really, really powerful if we're all sort of speaking with one voice, right? I know it's hard to get everyone to agree to anything, right? You get 10 people in a room, you got 20 opinions, but That being said, if you have a model that really seems to work and has worked for you in the state of New Jersey, I mean, look at this 80 schools that you're already a part of. I mean, that's tremendously powerful. And I think every school, every independent school and every public school should welcome that with open arms. Can you tell everybody again your social media handles, your website? I will include all of that in the show notes, but share all of that with us. Where can people learn more?
Yes, our Instagram is _C4GI_, and there you can find all of our educational materials, and then also we have a bunch of links in our bio, so one that connects to our website, fundraising platform that we use, and different resources or events that we share about. So,
and I will say that if you just put in the search bar campaign for the number 4, gender inclusivity, it pops up. So that was a lot of underscores and dots. But if you just put campaign for gender inclusivity, it pops right up and you can click on it. But I will include all of that in the show notes. Well, Sophia, I am wishing you the best of luck this school year and expanding this really wonderful program. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.